Father, we need to walk through this world that is broken with an attitude of praise, with a heart and a mindset to just look to you and, Father, just give you that glory, give you that praise. And Father, we don't always need to do it with our voice and our singing. We need to do it with our steps and our life. And Father, may others see Christ in us. May they see something different and something they want to be a part of. And God, you have placed us here to be that salt and light. You have placed us here to be the difference that this world needs to see. And God, I pray as we live our life every day, we're able to do that. And Father, as we study tonight, I pray you open our hearts and our minds and that we can just study your word, the importance of it and understanding and gleaning from it so that we may not make the same mistakes as those of the Old Testament. And God, we just praise you. In your son's name, amen. Appreciate that song. And every time we sing that song, it just brings me to a point of just, wow. You know, we serve a great God, a holy God, and a powerful God. And just praise be to his name. And needs to go there to him continually. And so I pray that we do that. And again, encourage one another as we go. But turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. Mentioned this morning, we're going there and looking into another area of the Solomon's reign. And as we've been studying thus far, we also realize that this is a time where Israel was at their peak. They've never had more ground than they have now. They've never had more riches than they have now. And everything was at peace. Everything was going well. And so this is a very jubilee moment for the nation of Israel. And when Solomon, as we get into the next chapter, we'll begin to see him starting to fall away. His focus begins to get changed on other things. And when our focus goes, so does the rest of us. Because it starts with the focus, it starts with the mind, then it goes to the heart, and then it goes to the attitude. And before you know it, you're just acting like and being like somebody you never thought you would. And so I can't stress enough how important it is to stay focused. Keep your focus on the truth of the Word of God. In fact, if you want to do a really good study, do Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 is a phenomenal chapter. You know why? All they did in the midst of all their struggles is they went, they got the Word of God out, they got the scrolls out, and all they did was read the Word of God. And you know what happened? It changed the hearts of the people. Because it's the Word of God that can do that. We can't do that. I mean, I'd feel really sorry for me and for you if all I did was stand up here and talk for 40 minutes. You know, just to have a conversation. You know, the important, that's why we study. That's why I love to study verse by verse. I love to go through the books of the Bible because when we go through them, we study things. And, you know, and I shared this morning that that passage of Scripture is not one chosen to be preached, but it was in the flow of the whole counsel of God. So you preach it. And so tonight we're gonna see again how Israel will get back in time. But now this is a very interesting text because we are introduced to the Queen of Sheba in verse 1 of chapter 10. It says, "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions." So I want to look at that first verse a little bit because it's interesting. There's a little bit of discrepancy on exactly where this is. Queen of Sheba, Sheba was not her name. Sheba was the location. And some believe Yemen, most of the people you'll study are scholar-wise, they'll give it to Yemen, where Yemen is today. And if you've been watching the news, Yemen had very little darkness the other night because Israel blew up their oil refinery. And it was on fire, and it still is. So there's battles going on over there. They're getting now the Houthis, and they're getting everybody involved in it now. So the extension of the war has begun. And so where that will lead us, God only knows. We'll see in time where that happens. But they also say it could be Ethiopia. It could be the Yemen. It could be that area. They're not exactly sure. Nobody can name it down dogmatically. Most believe the Queen of Sheba comes out of Yemen area. So out of that phrase. So we know a little bit about where she was. But even at that, it's some, I believe it's some 1,200 miles, they state she traveled. So now, if you're going to travel 1,200 miles, how would you go? Yeah, I don't think camel would be at the top of your list. They didn't have the fast track, you know. They had camel, man. That's a long trip. But notice the reasons, because we're going to see in chapters 1 through 11 the United Kingdom of Israel. So we're getting to the end of United, because in chapter 12 through 22, it's a divided kingdom. 10 went north, 2 went south. And so we're going to see how in that dividing of the kingdom, where the 10 went north and the 2 went south, then they're going to be overtaken in time, because chapter 11 begins the downfall of the good times of Israel. And you know, they have never yet gained back the territory or the wealth that Solomon had. Still have not gained it back. And so I don't think they ever will, at least not till the Lord gives it to them again. Not till the Lord returns and the Lord finishes the battle and the Lord gives them that ground again in the New Jerusalem. So she came because she heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. That is very significant, because in that custom and in their culture, they were polytheistic. And what that means is they served many gods. There was more than one god. Solomon, in fact, Solomon and the nation of Israel was the only nation that served one god. And so she could not believe that he had all this fame from one god. They wanted all of their gods, because they had a god of this fertility. They had a god of harvest. They had a god of this, and god of rain, and god of water. They had many gods, but Solomon had one god. And so his fame for the name of the Lord was quite interesting. And as we go down and find out, that fame is something she wanted to do what? She wanted to test him. She wanted to come and test him in the wisdom that God gave him. Now just think about that. There are people that come into my life to do that too. And I enjoy it, because if I don't know the answer, I simply tell them I don't know. I don't have to try to come up with every answer. I did not pray for the wisdom of Solomon, and obviously I didn't get it. But I know where the answer is. If you give me some time, I'll find it. But can you imagine that kind of fame with Solomon? Because she came to test him. She came to Jerusalem with she came with him with hard questions. So in the biblical sense, or in the customs of the Hebrews, what does hard questions mean? Could you think of some hard questions that you would love to ask somebody that could give you the right answer? There's one that I wonder about. Why, when you travel down the interstate, do they say emergency pull off in a half mile? What if my emergency is less than a half mile? Why do they do that? Why do they do that? You know, there are some things in our earth that just don't make sense, or common sense. And the one that really gets me is when, you know, the truck pull off before the big hill. Why are you going to let him behind you? Why does he pull off and all the cars go and he gets behind him? Because if he loses his brakes, you're all dead. Anyway, there's more important questions than that, I'm sure. But when you think about Solomon, what the biblical sense of these hard questions are, they were riddles. Some believe they were like riddles, or they were life events that she struggled. Remember, she was a queen. She was a royalty. She was an authority. Maybe they were things that she was struggling with in dealing her own country, her own ground. And she wanted to know what Solomon would do, what Solomon would say. And so to have that reputation of having that type of wisdom, and we know from the preceding chapters, he prayed for that, didn't he? He prayed that he would have that wisdom so that he may lead the nation of Israel well. God granted him that wisdom. And again, we're going to see his wisdom given by God still didn't outride his lost focus choices. I want that to sink for a minute, because that's you and me. We have the power of God in us. We've got the life of God in us. But that doesn't mean we're not going to make dumb choices. The power of God in us are not automatically going to override our choices. Now, I tell everybody I'm old and wise because God protected me when I was dumb and stupid, you know. But when we realize that we can't just float through this life, we can't just assume that we're going to be all right and we're going to make the right choices, because we got to stay focused. Solomon has made it to this point. She came to do that. And we find in verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great routine, which basically with camels and boar spices and very much gold, and we're going to find out how much here in a minute, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So, you know, when you came with a great company, or you come with a huge wealth, is basically what that is, in that coming with the camels full of all kinds of good stuff. And that's what they did back and forth. They would come and give, and Solomon then would give back. And we'll see what Solomon gives back, and or at least what he mentions to her to get back. So we come to the end of verse 2, and we realize when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And that's why we say the hard questions, the tough questions, I believe were things that she is struggling with on her own. Like, you know, why did God do this? Or why did God allow that happen? Why doesn't God stop that? Why doesn't God fix this? You know, those are some of our hard questions, aren't they? You know, if you would be a multimillionaire in 30 seconds if you could answer every why question, because everybody has them. But our answer is easy. Why? Because he's God. Period. That's the only reason why, or the only answer we have to that why question, because he's God. But the things that were on her heart, so she was coming, traveling 1,200 miles, coming over to this area, because her heart was heavy, heart was burdened. She's coming to Solomon because his wisdom is known all over the land. And again, to have that reputation is phenomenal. So when studying that, so Solomon in verse 3 answers all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. That is amazing. Because he didn't have a text to go to. He didn't have a whole completed Bible to go to. Solomon's wisdom came because he asked God for it, and God gave it to him. And the asking of God for that, let that soak a little bit, because we're going to come back to that. Because of Solomon asking, God did some amazing things. So, verse 4, and when Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the sitting of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, they came, I'm sure they didn't come in shorts and, you know, Hawaiian shirts or something, I don't know, whatever that is. Their apparel was top-notch. His cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. What does that mean? There was no more spirit in her. When she sat, listened to all of Solomon's answers, sat back and observed all that he had accomplished, all that he was doing. Remember, how long did it take him to build his house? Here's a quiz. 13 years it took him to build his house. 7 years to build the temple, 13 years to build his own house. So it was a little bit nice. And we know all the money and all the men and all the labors. We studied through that as we studied through the text. But when he built this, he built it with the best of the best, and he loved. And basically, when it says there's no more spirit in her, wow. That's what that means. That's it. She was in awe of what she's seen. Just could not believe. That's what happens when a child of God lives a life to glorify God. Other people around them are in awe. When life hits and life is hard and we fall down, we get back up, when things happen to us, this world throws the broken in at it, all the things that come after us. When we get back up with the smile on our face and the joy in our heart, the world goes, wow. Because listen, I don't know about you, but God's still building a good temple in me. God's still building his house in me. And so when he still builds that house in me, and when I allow Christ to be seen through me, I mean, you guys see it every Sunday. It's not me behind that pulpit. It's me behind the pulpit. But there was one in, you guys remember Shirley Kirkwood, right? Yeah, she was unfortunate in the latter part of Shirley Kirkwood's life. She was had eye degenerative, and she saw double. And she always told me when she'd leave the church, "Will you tell that other guy beside you to quit earlier?" I said, "Listen, you're blessed to see two of me." But it's not me up there. You know, I try the best I can to get out of God's way and let God do what God does. And when people see Christ through us, it's like, wow, that's still possible today. Wow, they're able to go through things and do things. And it's like, man. So that's the wow. That's when she comes to the end of verse 5 and no more spirit in her. It was the wow. She came believing or not believing. She didn't know. She only heard. According to verse 1, she heard of the fame of Solomon. She heard of this king and his God. She heard of all the things that he accomplished. Now she's seen it with her own eyes. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like walking away from meeting Jesus' meeting. There's nothing like walking away from a moment that you know was divined by God. When you walk away from that, it brings other people in the wow. And that's exactly what the Queen of Sheba. Now imagine the Queen of Sheba staying there going, she's speechless. Queen, speechless. I won't go any further. I'll just let that go in your own minds. But she comes to a point, and what does she see? She sees a mono God, the Lord. And this is interesting. I'll set this in right now. Whenever you look at the Lord, like in verse 9, verse 1, whenever you're in your Bible and you're in the Old Testament and you see L-O-R-D, all capitalized, you'll see it some other times where you see just L capitalized. When you see the L-O-R-D capitalized, what that means is she's giving credit to the one true God, Yahweh. Because there's other names of God. We know that we studied through the names of God. There's other names of God. But she's looking at this, and she, through Solomon, says, Yahweh. I don't know about you, but I want a life like that. I want a life where people look at what happens in my life, things that go on in my life, how I respond to life, and I want them to say, Yahweh. Not, man, what a hot mess you are, or not a basket case you are. I want them to say, Yahweh. And that's, listen, that's a side note of what we're studying tonight. For her to come and say, wow, it wasn't just the house. It wasn't just how his servants were. That was all part of it. What she saw, her first, answers to all her questions. Then she saw the blessings of this Yahweh to King Solomon. And she was in awe. And I'm going to tell you, that's the testimony that this world needs to see today from you and I. That's what they need to understand. Because listen, if we serve the same God, somebody say amen, right? Same God. Okay. Thought I lost you for a minute there. Lost signal. Very easy in our world. But anyway, we serve a God the same as the Yahweh of the Old Testament. So why can't we have this testimony that Solomon has? Why can't we? Listen, I don't know of anybody that has all these riches. Maybe somebody does. we left this morning, and thanks Sue and Joe for helping cleaning up the community there. We left this morning to pick up the two grandkids because let's travel 2 hours, pick them up, 15 minutes, travel 2 hours back to come preach. That's how important it is to me to influence my grandkids. You ought to be influencing your grandkids, whatever it takes. So they're coming to our VBS all next week. They're going to be here all week. And so when you look at that, and we come in and there was a package on the back door here, and you know, Kim made a big deal about it. I asked them to send me $1 million. I got my box. It's $1 million. Little Lincoln behind me says, Grandma, we're rich. And I'm like, I can't believe you just did that to him. But anyway, side note, we're not going to have all their riches. But you know, are you blessed? blessed beyond blessed. And no matter what we've gone through in life, no matter what we faced in life, we're still blessed. Does the world know that? Can the world see how much we are blessed? You see, that's what I think God says, the wow. We need to create the wow factor in the people's lives around us. And that's only because they see Christ in us. That's not us. And so they see all this, they have all this. She has this wow moment in verse 5. Verse 6 says, then she said to the king, it was a true report when I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame in which I heard. That's God. That's all of God going on that whole concept. And you know, interesting enough, Colossians says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God is preparing for those who love him. We're going to have a wow moment one day, aren't we? We're going to be in heaven and we're going to see the grandeur of all that God has done for us. And we're finally going to get it. He's a pretty good God. We're finally going to live eternity with a wow factor. And as we see and not long ago I sang that song, Until That Day, One Day. And it reminded me of that because on that day, we will praise him. On that day, we will see him opening his arms. And on that day, man, everything that you and I struggle with today is going to be gone on that day. And so we need to be practicing for on that day. And I think that's what this is explaining, practicing. We need to get that wow moment out there for those around us. And Christ in the New Testament, actually it's quite interesting. When you hear the praise from Queen Sheba here, Christ uses in the New Testament that he says that the lilies of the valley cannot compare to who? Solomon. The lilies of the valley that God takes care of can't compare to the beauty and the riches of Solomon. So you've just seen how she praised Solomon for all that he had beyond what she heard. And Christ cares about them. And then it goes on in the New Testament to say, if he cares for them, the birds, the flowers of the field, he cares more for us. Man, we've got the potential to have a wow moment all the time. How do we get there? How do we have those wow moments? You got to stay focused. You can't let the things of the world become more greater and powerful than the focus you have on your God. And that's not easy. That's difficult because we get hit, we get hurt, and we live in a world that is totally in just up in the air right now. We have no idea what's happening and why it's happening. And some of the news come through today that now the Democrats finally, he's not running. He backed out of the election. He's not running. So that's going to throw a whole nother side into a dizzy. And it's going to be another, it's like, I'm glad God's in control. Because man is really losing it. Man is really messing up on their wisdom. We don't have the wisdom of Solomon because we don't have the focus on the God of Solomon, on the Yahweh of Solomon. So all that praises, I think it's really interesting that we can correlate into a time that we will stand in awe for all that God has done for us. And so you move on from that verse and you see again in verse 8, happy are your men and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. There is no greater compliment that she could have given Solomon at this moment. And that's what baffles me. When another few verses, Solomon throws it all away. He begins to lose his focus. So I don't want to give too much of the study upcoming, but I ask you this question now, and we'll deal with it again when we get to chapter 11. What is it that takes your focus away from God? What is it that takes your focus? Because listen, we lose it. We all can't keep our focus where it needs to be every moment. This side of heaven is very difficult. So start making a list on the things that take you away from from the focus of God? Is it life, struggles, other people? I had an individual talking to him last week. Out of state, you don't know him. Don't try to figure out who it is. And we were talking, and they said, "Yeah, it's really, you know, it's really hard. Sometimes there's those people that really, you know, unsafe people that in the world and the evil, and they're just, man, they really get to you." And I said, "Well, you know, in my profession, the ones that get to me are his children." We had a good one on that one. But I want to tell you, we have an opportunity to have that wow moment all around. So she's praising God, and this is the key. People around us need to praise God because of us. They need to be praising a God that Queen of Sheba didn't know who Yahweh was other than by name. But she saw the results of what God can do. And I can't stress that enough in our life tonight. That's what God wants us. He wants people to see him through us. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. There's no other reason for you and I to stay on this earth, because we mess up his plan more than we help his plan. And so we need to have that focus. And so make your list. Begin to make your list. We're going to talk about it when we get to chapter 11 in a little bit. But what takes you away from the focus of God? I guarantee if you watch 15 minutes of news, you ain't going to be focusing on God. Or maybe you'll be thanking God that you're not like that. I don't know. But we live in a world that we really need to get back on our focus of God. As I mentioned this morning, it's the revival in the pulpit, and it's the revival in the pews that are going to make America great again. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else is going to work. We get some Band-Aids every now and then, but it's the revival in the hearts of the preachers leading to the revival in the hearts of the people that's going to make our country great again. That's how it started, and that's how we need to get back to. She's seen it in Solomon's life. She blessed the Lord in verse 9 because of it. The Yahweh, again, all caps, because what the Lord has done, how much he loved Israel to put Solomon in the reign of it. Verse 10 says, "And then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, precious stones. There never again came such an abundance of spice as the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." In today's prices, that 20 talents of gold would be $200 billion of gold. Have a gift. That's when we started joking about the box. 210. Did Solomon need that? No, he already had all that. But she gave him that much of a wealth, and the spices and the stones, and never again was there a gift given so great. Verse 11 states, "Also the ships of Haran, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir." Now, this almug wood, I know we got some woodworkers around, and if you've ever seen or can get a piece of this wood, it's phenomenal wood. It's wood that is a very, very small, tight grain, very strong, but it's an aromatic wood. It constantly has an aroma with it. It's absolutely beautiful, and it is way more than I can afford for a board foot. It is very expensive wood, but you can get on sites, and you can get on some sites that buy exotic woods. You could get this, but it's a wood that is very, very strong, tough, because the grain is so tight, and it's absolutely beautiful. It has a reddish mahogany finish to it. It's beautiful, beautiful wood. But what did they brought great quantities of this wood? Priceless today. And the aroma, something like we would call for cedar chests. You know, the cedar wood always has that aroma in it. It has that same concept, but it's just a beautiful, sweet smell, beautiful wood. So if you ever get any and have some scraps, let me know. I'd like to get a couple pieces of it, but it's a phenomenal wood to be a part of. So they gave them. I mean, again, we talked about the ships of Haran. We talked about that a couple chapters ago, about how he helped Solomon, he helped the Israelites because they weren't sea people. They were sea people, and they helped ship all the stuff back and forth to Israel that was needed. So they brought the wood. Verse 12 says, "And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house also harps and stringed instruments for the singers." That's how he used it. He made steps for the Lord and then instruments out of that wood. Do you find that interesting? What he used the wood for? He gave God first. Then he made the instruments. Then he made it for his orchestra that would play for him or play to him. But even Solomon, focusing on God, gives God his rightful heir, gives God what rightfully belongs to God. He gave the firsts to God, made steps out of that wood for the Lord's house. Found that quite interesting as I've studied through that. And then never again came such a almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. So when the queen gave her gifts, it's interesting because when she gave all this to him, she gave it as a gift. But what does Solomon give her in return? Because when Solomon says in verse 13, now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked. Man, would I love to have that given to me. Anything you desire, anything you ask, I'll give it to you. That's the wealth he had. But I want to look at that a little deeper. Because James tells you and I that we lack because we don't ask. And as we see, Solomon has been in many times, as we studied through this, a foreshadowing of different things. He's a king. He is a mere human king who has been blessed by God with the wisdom beyond wisdom and the riches and wealth beyond. And here he is saying, listen, Queen Sheba, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you ask. Do you think God is saying the same to us? Do you think we don't have because we just don't ask? And James says, if you do ask, don't ask with your faith wavering. Because we serve a God who loves us enough to give us exactly what we need to give the people around us a big wow. That doesn't mean you're going to get what you ask for. That doesn't mean everything you're going to ask for, you're going to get. But what it means is we need to have faith in a God that can give. All we need to do is that. What's the desire of our heart? Aren't we supposed to ask for the desire of our hearts? That's what Scripture says. Aren't we supposed to ask? John 15, abide in me and I abide in you. Ask what you will. You see, John 15 to me now becomes defined by chapter 10 of 1 Kings. Because if we focus on our God and we abide with our God that level, that way, the things we ask for are going to be within the realms of what God probably would want us to have. It's when we lose our focus. It's when we don't focus on our God and we forget about who he is. We ask for things that we want, not that we need. Those are the things God says, you know what, you're not going to get that. You really don't need that, because I know if you're granted that, it's probably going to take you away from things that I want you to do. Or it's going to do things, or are you going to get the praise, or am I going to get the praise? You know, God's a great God, and he has it all figured out. But when you and I, and listen, we've all been through the hardships. We've all been through times in our lives where we were asking God for things, and he gave us the exact opposite of what we asked. But that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. That doesn't mean he doesn't care for us. And so when he says in verse 13, give the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, I think it's very important that we can pull away from this and we can have and understand that Solomon gave basically what she asked. Queen Sheba gave what she chose to give him. There's a huge difference in the gifts. And I think we need to be more like Solomon, just asking. I said, we serve a great God. There's no doubt about it. I am so grateful and glad that he still hasn't given up on me. He's still working in me. He's still molding and making, as he is in all of us. And as he's working in us, and as he's molding us, and as he's making us more, carving us into the image of his son, according to scriptures, we need to realize that there are times that we just need to simply ask. One of the greatest things that I have read concerning this is George Mueller, when he was running the orphanage, and he literally had no food for all of the children in the orphanage. There was none. And he got out on his knees and prayed. Within 15 minutes, the doorbell rang with groceries. That's how George Mueller lived his life. Every day on his knees, praying for the next meal. And God never let him down. You see, God is, that's the God we serve. That's the God we need to serve. But today, how did we forget our God? I've got the cupboards full. I've got two freezers full. No, you can't have no venison. I've got freezers full of deer meat, cow meat. I've got berries frozen. I've got broth frozen. I've got apple pie filling frozen. We don't need anything because we have been able to do and able to acquire and able to have. And what was the thing that Moses told the nation of Israel when they left Egypt? Don't forget your God in the land of plenty. You see, that's what happened to America. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Because we got to the land of blessing. We got to the land, a nation under God, and God has blessed our land. I think he's raising some of his hand of blessing off of us because we're getting exactly what we deserve because we are his children. He responds to his children. He don't respond to the evil world. He responds to his children. Nowhere in scriptures of the Old Testament will you find God doing what he does because of the evil of this world, other than sending his son to die. Everything else he does because of the disobedience of his children. He does because he's blessing his children or he's cursing his children. It's all about the children of God. And it still is. It's about you and I. And so when we go through and we see this, again, gave all the desires, what are you asking of God for? What are you asking of God? Not only make a list of the things that easily get you out of focus, make a list of all the things that you're asking God for. Pray without wavering because he's a God who will give the desires of your heart if your heart is in tune with him. That's the key. That's what we got to do. Abide in him and he will abide with us. And I think Solomon is a great picture of that. And it goes on in that verse to say, not only what she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, and she and her servants were gone. And you do not read about her again all through biblical times. All through the Bible, she's here and gone. But what a lesson that we learn from a foreigner hearing, coming and seeing an individual that has been blessed by God doing it right and having that wow moment. That's my challenge to me. That's my challenge to you every day. Man, when you wake up, you're going throughout your day, purposely plan to give somebody a wow moment. Not because of what you say, not because of what you do, but because they see Christ in you. And as they see Christ in you, I think I've shared this many times, Corrie Ten Boom, you know, she was asked, what do you do with all the praises and all the blessings people give you? I take them, and at the end of the day, I make a bouquet, and I give them all back to God. You see, that's what we do with the blessings and the praises. And as somebody go through today, and they were saying, you know, I don't want your head to get too big. You know, I said, hey, listen, it's you take that and give it back to God. Because the moment you or I take one of those compliments and let it get a little bit stuck in there, we start losing focus. Don't ever lose focus of who you belong to and who is doing it through you. That's how you stay focused. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. And as we look at that, we realize that as we continue through and the examples that you have given us to understand and the reality of what it's all about, God, I know that there are times and that we have the divine moments that we talk to people, that we're encouraged by people. And Lord, we come to that place where we just watch them have a wow moment. And God, it's not us. And we need to just continue to humble ourselves, get out of the way. And Father, we are the conduit. We are not the energy. We are not the power. And God, I pray that as we take this into a new week, we think of VBS. We pray for VBS. We pray that we'll have hundreds of kids here this week that we may be able to influence for the truth of the Word of God. And Father, I pray as we continue to do that, that it only helps us grow and build into the future. God, as long as you tarry, as long as you allow us on this earth, may we continue to be the light in a world of darkness. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. I just